texts from God's Word this morning are Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ from his Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These verses from God's Word are the Lord Jesus Christ's antidote to worry. Therefore, do not worry, he says, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Those may be the top concerns of most people in the world. Food, fun, and fashion. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? It's also the desperate concern for millions of people who live in refugee camps, people who've been displaced. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? It may have played on the minds of the disciples as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ around Galilee and Samaria and Judea, as they itinerated. What are we going to eat? Where's our next meal coming from? We've been walking all day from one place to another. Where are we going to eat tonight? Where are we going to sleep tonight? And where am I going to get a replacement pair of sandals? These are wearing a bit thin. So the disciples may have been worrying about what they were going to eat and drink and wear. They may be the concerns of many people today, newly unemployed because of the collapse of big companies or the collapse of small companies, the homeless, the seriously ill. What are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't deny that these are very important things and necessary things. Food and water, clothing and shelter, they're very important in life. What the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing is something much deeper, more significant, and far more long-term as part of life. A dimension of life which is more significant than eating, drinking, and what we wear. Life now is more than food and clothes and shelter. Life now is more than the meeting of physical needs and the temporal time that we spend on earth. Life now involves us each with God. There is a spiritual, eternal dimension to life now. It doesn't begin when we enter upon the realm beyond this world. Eternal life is something to be entered into now. Fellowship with God is to be entered into now. Life is much more than temporal, physical needs. Life is spiritual. Life is eternal. Life is communion with God. And a great deal of the anxiety and stress and the mental health issues that so many people face and are worried about is due to the fact that many people live without reference to God. They live as if all there is what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink and what are we going to wear. That's the sort of sum total of their living. Jesus says that's what the Gentiles seek, that's what they're after. And many of the stressful things of life come because people are so concerned about temporal, physical things. The satisfying of present needs and their presentation of image to the world. And if we're not getting what we want and if we're not presenting ourselves as a sort of prime specimen of the human race, then there's so much trouble and difficulty. Well, wait a minute. Life is more than food. Life is more than drink. Life is more than the clothes you wear. Life involves communion with God and meeting with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that a lot of the anxiety of life would be removed if we lived with God. If we lived conscious of the spiritual, eternal realities that are part of life, instead of focusing on the physical dimension of life. So Jesus is emphasizing this spiritual, eternal dimension of life. There are some helpful and simple songs and poems which can help us. The hymn and the chorus of the hymn, "When We Walk With the Lord," is very helpful. Life is to be life lived walking with the Lord and trusting and obeying. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. These are the important things of life: walking with the Lord and trusting and obeying him. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a one-verse poem called "Overheard in an Orchard." You've heard it, I've probably spoken it before. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." The Lord Jesus Christ would have us learn from the robin and the sparrow and the birds of the air. He says in this chapter, "Consider the birds of the air. We humans have a capacity to sow and reap and store. The birds don't have a capacity to sow and reap and store. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than the birds? And if your heavenly Father feeds the birds, you can't sow and reap and store. How much more will he care for you who can? Consider the lilies of the field, the wayside flowers. They can't spin cloth. They can't go to a tailor to sort of get themselves all sort of spruced up. But Jesus says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, the sort of meadow plants, which are gathered in his time to sort of become fuel for the bread-making oven of the women of the day. If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he care for you, O you of little faith?" Life is much more than the present, much more than eating and drinking and wearing clothes. There's a dimension to life which can lift the anxiety from living. The dimension of life, living with God as your Father and living for eternity and not for time. And when we live with God as our Father and when we live for eternity and not time, then the anxieties are reduced. So the Lord Jesus Christ in our text gives us an antidote to worry. He says in verse 31, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' After all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The great physician giving his prescription against worry. Do not worry. And the medication is in two parts. You often get those tablet capsules, don't you, with a red end and a brown end, or a blue end and a green end, and it's got two parts to it, and they're put together. Well, there are two parts to this antidote to worry from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is, trust God as your heavenly Father. Trust God as your heavenly Father. And the second is, seek first, above everything else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will fall into place. He knows you have need of these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Don't be anxious about them. But trust your Father in heaven. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to trust God as our Father in heaven? And what does it mean for us to seek first the kingdom of God? And to look at those two things. So let me challenge you. Are you consciously living in a genuine relationship with God as your Father in heaven? Remember, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the fears come because people do not live with God as their God and Father in heaven. They're seeking this, they're seeking this, they're seeking this. They're living as if life consisted of what I can get now, and they're excluding God from their lives. That's the pathway of stress and anxiety. The pathway of peace and contentment, godliness with contentment, is to be consciously living in a relationship with God as your Father in heaven, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Don't worry. That may be too big a pill to swallow in one go. So let's break it down a little bit. When you think of food and harvest time, and the different types of food that are eaten, so fruits and vegetables and nuts and all other kinds of food. When you think of food, do you have gratitude in your heart to God? Gratitude in your heart to God. Do you acknowledge God as the creator of the fruits, the grains, the nuts, the vegetables, the milk, the honey, and all the other kinds of food? Although the farmers plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, yet the seed in the first place comes from God with all its information inside the seed. God put it there, all the DNA for it to germinate. God gives life to the seed. He brings about the germination. You buy a packet of seeds, and what percentage of the seeds will germinate? Well, statistically, they can tell you, God can tell you which ones will germinate, which ones will not, because he gives life to the seed. Do you give glory and praise to God the Creator and the sustainer of your life? As creatures, we're meant to be much more than consumers, scoffing down what God gives us, and then scoffing at the idea that there's a God who gives it. We're not meant to be just mindless consumers. We were made to be worshippers. Worshippers of God. So in your heart, are you a worshipper of God? We start there. A worshipper of God. Thankful to him for the good gifts that he gives to us. That the Lord God would have us much more than just worshippers. The Lord God wants us to be his beloved children. Think of John's Gospel in chapter 1, where he says that as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ, to them Jesus gave the right to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to those who believe in Jesus' name. The right to become children of God. Think of Ephesians chapter 1, that God has determined a destiny for us, that we should be adopted as children in his love. God doesn't want us to just be consumers of his created gifts. He doesn't even want us to be worshipful recipients of those gifts. He wants us to be children. He wants to hear us call him Abba, Father. He sent his Son from heaven down to this earth to die on Calvary's cross so that he could bring many sons to glory, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us. God wants us to be his children. He wants us to know his love. Paul in Romans talks about the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit, so we cry, Abba, Father. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ in this Sermon on the Mount. And he speaks of all of those who receive him as those who have God as their Father. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Chapter 6. When you pray, go into the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, and do the same. Secretly between you and God is your Father. When you pray, he says, pray in this way, our Father in heaven. See, the Jesus' antidote to worry is to live in a relationship with God as your Father in heaven. The Father who cares for you and who will provide for you. He knows what you need of, the food, the clothes, the water. He knows. Every practical need, he knows. And one of the ways to alleviate the stress about those things is, first of all, to live day by day as those who know God as their Father in heaven. Do not worry, Jesus says. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So we're to be people who live in fellowship with God and faith in God as our Father. Not living for temporary things, but living for the eternal things. The things of God and heaven and our Father in heaven. Second part of the antidote to worry is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the text tells us, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In 1954, President Eisenhower, recently become the President of the United States, he addressed the Second Assembly of the World Council of Churches. And he quoted Dr. Roscoe Miller. And he said, I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent. And that's become known as the Eisenhower Principle. These two problems, the urgent and the important. And there's a kind of sliding scale between the two as to what is urgent and what's important. Well, we won't stop and get bogged down with the details of the sliding scale of the principle. But we note these two things. Eating, drinking, and wearing may be urgent considerations, but they are not the most important considerations. They may be a problem, but there are two kinds of problems. There's the urgent and there's the important. It might be urgent to have food and clothes and drink, but it's not the most important. In Luke 16, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about a rich man, and he tells us about a poor man, Lazarus. The rich man, Jesus says, fared sumptuously. And one day he probably had a wonderful supper, washed down with the most glorious vintage wine, and he ate it dressed in the most luxurious outfit you ever saw. But that night he died and was in hell. The same day, Lazarus was outside the rich man's gate. He had nothing to eat. He was hoping for scraps from the rich man's table. He had scarcely enough clothes. The dogs could come and lick his open wounds. Probably had very little to drink. And that day, he died. But was in heaven. In heaven. The rich man did not give attention to the important things. The important things were to listen to God, to listen to his word, to believe Moses and the prophets, the warnings about judgment to come, the promises about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things are the important things, the eternal things. But the rich man just cared for what he could eat, what he could drink, what he could wear, and look so wonderful. He did not care about the important things. And because he didn't care about the important things, the night he died, he ended in hell for all eternity. There's no way he could be lifted out of hell and brought to heaven. His eternal destiny was sealed the moment he died. Lazarus, he didn't have food, he didn't have drink, he didn't have clothes adequate to cover him or shelter. But he concentrated on the important things. The important thing was that he, like Abraham before him, was a believer in God, that he trusted God for the eternal realities. See, there are two things. They're the urgent things today and the important things. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we must not get bogged down on the temporary things, which may be urgent, but they're not the ultimately important things. The ultimately important things are the things of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, seek first. First. Before anything else. Before breakfast. Before what you drink. Your mind, your heart should be seeking first that fellowship with God as your Father. When morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you wake up? Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other urgent things will be added to you. The important thing, though, is for you to seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for you and for me to seek first the kingdom of God? To seek it above everything else, make it more important to us than the clothes we're going to wear, more important to us than the food we're going to eat or whatever we're going to drink, to seek first, to make this the priority of life, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, let's call in the help of Matthew, where we read this, because he, from the opening verse of his gospel, speaks about the king of the kingdom of God. This is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And immediately, in the Jewish mind, mention of David is mention of the king. The shepherd boy becomes the king, the great deliverer of the people of Israel, the shepherd king. And Matthew, as he unfolds his gospel, he's constantly talking about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. So if we want to know what it means to seek the kingdom first, then listen to Matthew. Jesus Christ is the legal son and heir of David, but he's not the natural son of David, of Joseph. We're told that the angel came to Joseph and told him, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." This unique king, seek first the kingdom of God, seek the king, Jesus. This unique man, who is man, yes, he's a child from the Virgin Mary, but he's unique, he is God-man. You'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. To seek first the kingdom of God is to seek Jesus, the King. And to seek salvation from sin through the King. That's what the kingdom is about. That's what the King was born for. To save his people from their sins. Not just to save them from the penalty of their sins, but to save people from the power of sin in their lives. To save them from sinning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ, the King. John the Baptist came, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and he came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What does it mean to seek the kingdom of heaven? Well, listen to John the Baptist. "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John made it clear what repentance was to look like. It's going to look like a healthy tree laden with fruit. You know those cyclic events of apple trees. One year it can be full of fruit, the next year very few fruits. What does repentance look like? Repentance looks like a healthy tree laden with fruit. He said to the Pharisees who came, "Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Go and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Let's see your repentance. It should be like fruits hanging on the tree, a healthy tree. The axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is going to be hewn down. Repent." So what does repentance look like? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of heaven? Well, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you want the kingdom of heaven, repent. Turn from your sins. What does that mean? It means a change in your life. It means that instead of bringing forth sin in what you think, bringing forth sin in what you say, bringing forth sin in what you do, the fruit of your life is to be righteousness. Your mind is changed. Your heart is changed. Your will is changed. There's a complete change around. Repent. Turn away from sin. Have a loathing for sin in your thinking. Have a loathing for sin in your speaking. Have a loathing for sin in your doing. And love righteousness. Think whatever things are pure and good and righteousness and holy. Whatever is of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Change the way you're thinking. Let there be a renewal of your mind. And in your speaking, change the way you speak. So there's no sin coming out of your mouth. Change the things you do. Repentance looks like a tree laden with fruits that are good and pure. So to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to constantly be clearing out the thinking, the speaking, the doing from our minds, our hearts and wills that are wrong, impure. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is to be a priority in our lives. The antidote to worry is to seek first the kingdom of God, the King, Emmanuel, God with us, the Saviour of sinners. Seek first the kingdom of God, to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is the king on the battlefield to secure his kingdom against the power of darkness. You've got the king of the kingdom of light and the king of the kingdom of darkness doing battle in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And how did he overcome temptation? How did he establish, as it were, the reign of the king against the attack of the kingdom of darkness? He used the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. The sword of the Spirit. Having fasted for 40 days, how anxious Jesus must have been for food. Take no thought, or don't be anxious about what you're going to eat. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. He hasn't eaten for 40 days and suddenly Satan appears and tempts him. And he tempts him, say, well, act independently of your Father. You are the Son of God. Just command that these stones be made bread. It's a subtle temptation to say, live for food and live independently of God in heaven. And Jesus says, no, no. Man is not meant to live independently of God in heaven. Man isn't meant to live for food alone. Man cannot live by bread alone. Man has to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man is dependent upon the divine decrees of providence. And man must trust in that. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ confronted by what's he going to eat? What's he going to drink? What's he going to wear after 40 days in the wilderness? Satan is saying, live independently of God the Father. Jesus, no way. Man doesn't live like that. The kingdom of God is this victory against the kingdom of darkness. And to seek first the kingdom of God is to do battle against the temptations that come our way. Temptations to leave God out of our lives. Temptations to manipulate God. You know, get God to do what you want him to do. Throw yourself down. He'll give his angels charge over you. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Temptations to stop worshipping God and serving him for some short-term gain. He showed him all the riches of the world. All these will I give you if you just give me a nod of worship. That Lord, that'd be all right. Shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus, as the king, is putting God, his Father, first. Moving on into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself talks about the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't worry. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? That's what the world does. That's how the world lives. What the Gentiles seek. But you're to live conscious of your Father in heaven and his care for you. Are you a person who is living day by day with that eternal reality? That God in heaven wants you as his child. And he wants you to know his care for you. Casting all your care upon you, upon him, because he cares for you. And the other part of the antidote is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Don't think that food, drink, clothes, that's the urgent things. They may be urgent things, but they're not the important things of life. The important thing of life is for us to live seeking first, above everything else, the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom. Your days of eating, drinking, and wearing nice clothes will be over pretty quickly. But that's the eternity. and eternity can start now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We come in our poverty. I'm not a great repenter. My faith is so weak and little. Well, blessed are the poor in spirit. Come in your bankruptcy. Come in your weakness. Come in the poverty of your spirit. Just cry out to God. I'm just a helpless, sinful creature. Help me, help me. Forgive me, cleanse me through Jesus Christ and his blood shed on Calvary. The King who was called Jesus to save his people from their sins. Come in that poverty of spirit and plead for his help. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And pursue righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek righteousness. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, I say, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be passionate about righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. Do you want deliverance from anxiety and worry? Why are so many people anxious and worried? Because they're living life missing out the important dimension of living with God as their Father in heaven. They're living life as if the most important thing was the things of time, the image they present to the world. When in reality the most important thing is the eternal kingdom of God and his righteousness. The rich man immediately knew when he died that he had omitted the important things of life. And he pleaded with Abraham, please send Lazarus to my brothers to impress upon them the important things. He said, they've already got Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. You have Moses and the prophets. You have Jesus in the Gospels. You have the Word of God to tell you what's the important things. You have Jesus telling you today the important things. That's for you to live now in the consciousness that God is your Father. The important thing is for you to live above everything else, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those urgent, anxious concerns, they'll fall into place. And your Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all that we need? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. May we have peace through Jesus and the joy of eternal life and knowing God as our Father. Amen.